Welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled, multicultural church in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find out more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas on the web at themissiondelray.com.
We got a Bible. Go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy. We're still in our Timothy series, as you can tell by the large graphic behind me. If you weren't sure what I was preaching, it's right up there. We're about to finish up our Timothy series. It's been a cool little, you know, teaching series through 1 Timothy. We're going to finish up next week in 2 Timothy, and I think it's been really good. I have a confession to make again this morning, like I so often do. We're squeaking so much up here. I had an awesome teaching this morning. Man, it was good. I had 10 points in total. I talked about cultic behavior, the markings, the 7 markings of a cult, the 3 open doors to cultic behavior. Man, it was really good. I was excited about teaching it this morning. And I was getting ready to get in the car, and the Lord said, "Hey, why don't you go ahead and preach out of 1 Timothy 6 this morning?" So, "Lord, I've studied 1 Timothy 3 and 4. He's like, "Yeah, that's neat. How about we just go ahead and do 1 Timothy 6? I'll say, "Well, I hope you got a message, Lord, because mine is in another chapter of the Bible." And, let me tell you something. We have a pre-service meeting. We kind of get together, all the people who have a role to play pre-service, and we get together and we kind of talk about what's going to happen, kind of lay out the service. We don't have our service marked, you know, at 6:42 this is going to happen, and 7:03. You know, we try to prepare as much as possible, but at the same time we try to give room for the Holy Ghost to move. Amen. You know what I mean? We want to, you know, the Holy Ghost has a final say on everything. So if you're like, you know, worship went really long this morning, we're like, "Yeah, we were just waiting until the Holy Ghost was done." Amen. You know, because if I preach for an hour and the Holy Ghost never came, then you didn't gain anything. Amen. You know? So, and then likewise, I've cut worship short because I felt like it was time to move into the ministry, or we might have, I mean, we try to lay things out, and then the Holy Ghost, you know, we try to pray ahead of time, see where he's going. We try to figure out what songs he's going to move in, just, you know, as we try to feel where the Holy Ghost is going that day. But we try not to get too goofy about it. And so in the meeting this morning, I was telling the team, I said, you know, I got a message, and the Holy Ghost told me not to bring it. And I think it's a good one. I might even make it into a teaching and just make it available on the website that you could download. But they said, you know, isn't that frustrating when that happens? Isn't it frustrating that you've prepared all week for this thing and it's not turned out as planned, and now you got to be on stage and you better bring something? Isn't that a little frustrating? And let me tell you, no, it's not. And let me tell you why it's not. The more frustrating life is to do something outside or without the Spirit of God. To say you're doing something for God and God is not involved in it is frustrating. You might get ahead of God's timing and rush out to do something. You might go somewhere. You know, God said go, but not yet, and you didn't hear the not yet part, and you rush out, and the Holy Ghost isn't there. That's frustrating. When you go to do something in your own strength and God has not anointed it, that's frustrating. I'd far rather be on stage and try to be hearing God in the midst of the message than up here knowing God is you know, down the street. You hear what I'm saying? So, I really feel like God has drawn some people today that he wants to do something very specific in your lives today. I'm not here with a sermon. I'm here with a message. And it's a message, I believe, straight from the heart of God. And if you receive it today, if you open your heart and you make yourself vulnerable to the Holy Spirit today, if you make your heart vulnerable to God possibly touching something that you hold dear, if you make yourself vulnerable, dare I say, to hope again, I believe God is going to do something significant in the hearts of the people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to start, and we're going to read 2 little sections out of chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting with verse 3. He says, "If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teachings that accords with godliness, he's puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. We're going to jump ahead to verse 11. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Can you say amen? Paul is ending this letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. And in the last month, we've talked about how close Paul and Timothy were. We talk about how it was Paul himself who helped bring Timothy into the ministry. It was Paul who heard about this young, zealous, young man for God who wasn't actually a Jew, but was half Jewish and had not even conformed to the Jewish ceremonies in his life. And Paul heard his zealousness and Paul went and got him. And Paul began to disciple him. And Paul, in fact, began to drag him around with him as he went on his missionary journeys. And Timothy was at the feet of Paul learning the ministry and learning doctrine, and if I could step outside of Scripture and just possibly assume for a moment, I see Paul and Timothy in hours of prayer together. I see them in long trips of ministry, going from place to place and just getting in the Scriptures together. I see Timothy at the feet of Paul saying, you know, hey, Pastor, what do you think this Scripture means? What do you think this means? When this miracle happened over at Trials, what do you think God was doing? And when you got this word of knowledge over there, how do you think that the bonds were broken in the prison? And how do you think I'm going to come into my call? And what was it like when you first came upon Jesus? What happened when you got thrown off the horse? I could just think the hours and hours and hours that Paul and his disciple Timothy spent together, not just men in the workplace, not just guys who had a cubicle next to each other, but a true father-son relationship where Paul would tarry in the midnight hour for his disciple Timothy, and they would travel hours and hours and hours and know each other's sleeping schedules and eating schedules, and I dare say they knew each other's tempers, and they knew the things that got each other excited, and knew their pet doctrines, and I see Paul having left his disciple in Ephesus saying, look, I started to work here, but now I'm trusting you, not to a small congregation. I'm not trusting you to a church. I'm trusting you to this city. I'm trusting this work that I did that I'm not coming back possibly for years, if ever. I'm trusting that you will hear the Holy Ghost and you will shepherd this thing that I built. Men in the ministry today don't trust their disciples to run a small group for them. They don't trust to put their disciples on the microphone of their own church that they're in the service for. And here's Paul says, you know, hey, I started the church. I mean, you've got to think about this. Paul would show up somewhere with nothing but the Holy Ghost and plant the church of Jesus Christ. And after a couple months said, okay, you're the elder, you're an elder, you're an elder, you're an elder, you're a deacon, you're a deacon, you're the apostle. Okay, I'll send you a letter in a couple years. Let me know how things are going. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Paul's trust in the Holy Ghost? You got to understand Paul's trust that the Holy Ghost will keep his church. That the Holy Ghost, he's outside of your will. He's bigger even than your obedience. You hear me? The Holy Ghost is more powerful than your ability to obey him. The Holy Ghost is more gracious than even your ability to forgive. And Paul leaves his spiritual son Timothy in the care of the Holy Ghost. And after a while, he sends him a letter and he says, hey, how are things going over there? I've been praying for you. And just like he said to the church in Corinth, look, I'm not there in person, but know that when you address these people, I will be there in spirit. And that's kind of a wild concept. Paul had so engrafted him his heart in his ministry and his anointing into Timothy that he's like, you know what? You may not see me there, but I'm there with you. And I'm in prayer, and I know God talks to me. And since I'm the apostle over your ministry, let me go ahead and address the things that I know you need to address there, even though I'm not there. How wild is that? Parents, imagine if you had such a relationship with Jesus Christ through his Spirit that you don't have to be all up in your kids' mix to know what's going on in their lives. Think about this. What if you had such a heart after God and you had such a relationship, you were able to tell your kids, hey, I'm not going to be with you as you go out with your friends tonight, but understand I'll be with you in spirit. Imagine if you're able to say, hey, you know, I know you got this project going and you got a first day of work or you got this first day of school coming up, and I want you to know I'm not going to be there with you, but I'll be with you in spirit. And the kids know that you walk so close to God and there's such a fruit of your relationship with Jesus in their lives that they know, hey, I know mom is not here, but I just know that she's here in spirit. I know that right now, I just feel it. She's making intercession for me right now. I know right now I'm going through this hard thing, but you know, I'm feeling anxious and I'm feeling worried and I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, but something just shifted. I know that God knows that I'm uncomfortable, and I know that my mom knows God, and so I know that my mom must be uncomfortable. So right now she's making intercession for me, and I'm feeling things shift right now. How good is that? Whoever got a call from your pastor right at that moment, and they said, hey, I was just thinking about you. I wanted to give you a call and see how you're doing. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. This is the relationship that Jesus modeled for us, first of all, on the earth. This is the relationship that Jesus modeled. He was in prayer. He knew what was coming. He understood the times and the seasons. And he prayed like that to let us know, hey, guess what? If you're going to make it in the world today, you have to be able to have a personal relationship with God. You have to have the Holy Ghost in your life. You got to be plugged into the Spirit of God. So here's Paul. I dare say knew the Holy Ghost fairly well. Imagine this. He leaves Timothy in charge of a church, and he's like, ain't nowhere near there. Okay? Nowhere near there. And then he writes them a letter saying, hey, I know these are the things you're dealing with. Here's how you're going to deal with them. Imagine you haven't seen somebody in a couple years or a couple months, a couple weeks, and you just get a letter from them. Long and written out. Hey, I know you got this issue with your job and your coworker, and they're saying these things. Here's how you should deal with that. And by the way, here's the attack that's coming. You know, you think it's your health, but it's not. Here's what's happening. And if you go to this work, you go to your yard, and you'll see this thing buried there. It's witchcraft that's come against you. Go ahead and dig that up, and things will be fine. And I know you got some issues with your stomach. Here's how you can deal with that. And he was like, whoa. That's kind of wild, right? Yeah. But that's biblical Christianity. You hear me? That's biblical Christianity. So I'm preparing my message this morning, and I'm coming to church, and the Holy Ghost speaks to me, and he says, hey, you're going to talk about this. I believe personally, and I guess you could disagree, you could say this could go for any time, but I believe that there's some people in the room today, and you're going through something. And I believe you've cried out to God, and you've touched the heart of God. And I believe... in your intercession, you moved, and this might sound funny, but I believe that you have moved the heart of God. I believe that you moved the heart of God to the point where this service has been shifted to minister to your cry. Amen? Could that be you today? You think God cares enough about you in your dry season that he would change a service just to reach you? It's wild, right? It's wild, right? I believe God wants you to know today, just like Timothy got that letter from Paul, God wants you to know today that you're not alone in this faith journey. You're not alone on this planet. You're not alone in this walk. Though you feel at times you're in the midst of a crowd and you're in the midst of just all these people and the busyness of life and the comings and goings and the trappings of work, you're not alone. Some of you have lost family members. You've lost people very dear to your heart, parents and brothers, but I'm here to let you know, God wants you to know you're not alone. There's nothing that happens outside of God's ability to see what's going on. I'm here to let you know that there is a Savior that died on the cross, but he didn't stay on that cross. They put him in a tomb, but he didn't stay in that tomb. He ascended up into heaven, where right now the Bible says he is praying for you and I. My God, there's some people in my life that I'm like, man, I got some issues going on. I need this person to pray. Imagine if Jesus was praying for you right now. Can you imagine Jesus going to his father and being like, hey, Dad, Mikey got some issues with the car. You think we can do anything about that? Can you imagine what the father would say? I think we can work that out. That's not really, let's see, created the earth, created humanity, redeemed them. Car, think I can do the car. Hung the stars in the sky, pretty sure I can get the car fixed. Father, is it possible for you to bring me a mate? Let's see, I created all humanity. I know every hair on their head. I know how many grains of sand are in the ocean. I think I can work out a mate, since I'm the one who said it's not good to be alone. Amen?
Amen.
Are you feeling this? You understand what I'm saying? There's a war against your relationship with God. You got to understand that the moment you were created on this earth, you had an adversary. You had someone on your side, and you had an advocate on your side and an adversary against you. And so many people have taught that our purpose on this planet was to try to just hold on until the end. That we got this wicked, sinful flesh that is constantly warring against us, and that if we can just hold it off long enough, Jesus is going to come down and swoop down from heaven like Spider-Man and swoop us up, just as the evil enemy is going to come and take us away. And on his little spidey rope, he's going to hold us, and we're just going to... Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is, you know, as awesome as Spider-Man is, he's only saving one person at a time. I dare say there's more than one person in this room who needs saved, let alone on this planet. You hear what I'm saying? No, let me tell you. You were not created to fight the devil your whole life. You were not created to be defeated your whole life. You were not created to be beneath your whole life. You're not created to be broke your whole life. You're not created to be lonely your whole life. You're not created to be bound in sexual perversion your whole life. You weren't created to be an alcoholic your whole life. You weren't created to be a drug addict your whole life. You weren't created to be violent your whole life. You weren't created to have a bad attitude your whole life. You weren't created to be miserable your whole life. You were not created to be depressed your whole life. You were not created to have bad hair your whole life. You were not created to have clothes that aren't in style your whole life. You were not created to be worried about what people think about you your whole life. Amen? That's good news right there. But it doesn't mean you won't be tested. It doesn't mean you won't be tested. And in fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that Jesus himself was tested in every way. Imagine that. Jesus was tested in every way. So when we pray to God, it's not like we're praying to some God who has no clue what you're going through. It's not like, you call somebody. You ever like call the help desk for your computer and they're living in India? And you're like, do you understand what I'm going through right now? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you understand? I'm not going to ride a camel home. I need my computer working right now. I don't own any mules. No, I need, right? No, I don't want to hold. You know, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You know, Jesus, it says, was tempted in every way. You know what's cool about that? He knows every way out of temptation. There's nothing new under the sun. We have a God. We have a God. We have an advocate who's got the answer to every temptation that comes into our life. Come on. He gave us our spirit so we can pray, even if we don't know how to pray. Even when our flesh says, I don't even know. I mean, you've been in situations and you're like, I want to do the right thing, but I got no clue what it is in this situation. I'm in so deep. I'm underneath this thing and I don't have any idea if that door goes up or down. I don't know what's happening. Jesus said, you're going to have these kind of times. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my spirit and he's going to fill you. And in times, the Bible says that you don't know how to pray. pray. He makes intercession through me, making groanings I don't even understand. I just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I know you've been tempted in every way. I know, Lord Jesus, that you do have the answer, and I don't even know what words to pray right now. So I'm just going to pray in tongues for the next 10, 15 minutes, believing that you're going to make intercession through me. The intercession that you are, the Bible says, in heaven, making to your Father, right now by your Spirit, you put it inside of me, and now it's coming through me. My flesh is lining up with your Spirit. I don't know what to pray, Lord. Your will be done in my life, Jesus. Build up on the inside of me, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me direction, Lord. I need to know your will. I need to know your tricks to get out of this thing, Lord. I need that wisdom, that perfect word of wisdom that will deliver me from the trap of the enemy, Lord. I'm tired of being defeated. Conform my will to yours, Lord. Allow my flesh to die down, Jesus. Come on, can anybody say amen? Can anybody say amen? Come on, hallelujah. You got an advocate on your side. He's filled you with his Spirit. He's got his perfect will being done in your life today. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Listen, you're not alone. You're not alone. You are not alone. You don't need to get on the phone and call the pastor. Pastor, she done said this about me. And then I said that to her. And then she said this and I said that. What do you think I should say? I think you should say, Shoreba Saravanderere. That's what I think you should say. Good God. I don't have any clue what you should do, but I know someone who does. It's the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Come on, you are not alone today. You don't need a man to tell you the will of God. I believe in godly wisdom. I believe in covering. I believe in counsel. But at some point, you got to hear God on your own. The Bible says that all the works that Jesus did, if they were all written down, the earth could not contain the books. That's kind of amazing. You know what that tells me? There is wisdom that God has that is beyond this book. Now, it lines up with this book. Because there's not many Jesuses, there's one Jesus. He didn't do, you know, different stuff that contradicts each other. But there is wisdom that's not in this book. Again, it lines up with this book, but I need it. Because if Jesus did things that aren't in this book, I need to know how he did those things. So when I get confronted with those situations, I know what to do. Amen. How do I tap into that? Well, I read the word, so I get it on the inside of me. And then I pray in tongues, so he can multiply that word on the inside of me. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Now, some of you have been in a battle. I'm just going to be a little honest today, as if I never am. But I see Christians in battle sometimes, and it just kind of irritates me. It just irritates me. It's like, do you not see what's happening? It's like when you got a little kid, and they come in looking filthy. And you're like, I told you, don't track mud in the house. They're like, I didn't. Well, what's that? What are you talking about you didn't? Look, that's the dirt in the house that you tracked in, wouldn't it? And, you know, people come and they're like, I don't understand, Pastor, what's going on in my life. And I'm like, well, your life is a mess. That's what it is. And it's bearing bad fruit. Do you understand why it's happening? And they're like, no. Sometimes people just, they get stupid. And they think sin isn't going to affect their lives, which is just dumb. That's like the ultimate trick of the enemy right now. It'll be okay if I agree with the devil. God won't mind. Yeah, no, that won't work out well. Don't do that. But other times, because we're ignorant of God's word, we fall into traps that Jesus already conquered. Yeah. Hear me. There's traps we fall into that Jesus already modeled for us how to get out of. Matthew chapter 3. We see Jesus, and we see Jesus gets baptized. Remember this, Jesus, John the Baptist was doing his ministry, he was baptizing people, and he was so anointed, and they knew according to the prophetic timetable laid out by Daniel, that right around then was the time the Messiah should come. The problem, if you're Jewish, the problem that you have with not receiving Jesus as the Messiah is you don't believe the Old Testament. You don't believe the Tanakh. You don't believe the scriptures, because if you look at the 70 weeks prophecy, it ends right there at the revealing of Jesus. And John the Baptist was so anointed, they thought that he was the Messiah. They were like, "Are you the one?" And John always said, "No, I'm not the one. I'm not actually the one who's coming. I'm not even worthy to wash his feet. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire." One day, Jesus is walking by, and John's like, "Oh, hey, guys, guess what? Yeah, that's him right there." You know, "Oh, wow, okay." And some of the disciples, even when they met Jesus, they ran and told their families, "Hey, we have found the Messiah. We found him." That tells me that people were looking for the Messiah, because you can't find something you're not looking for. You know? People say, "Oh, Jesus found me." No, he knew where you were all along. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't, "Where's Joey? I don't know. Let me look under the rug. Oh, no, he's not there. Under the bed? No. Is he on the ceiling? No, no, he knows where you are. You don't know where he is. There's a difference. You know, you need to be looking for him if you don't know where he is, you know?" But so they were looking for the Messiah. They thought it was John the Baptist because he was anointed. And as a matter of fact, the Pharisee said, one of the wise Pharisees said, hey, these disciples, if they found the Messiah, it's going to be really bad for us to persecute them. But if it's not him, don't worry. Remember that other guy who said he was the Messiah and he wasn't? Yeah, that all came to nothing. See, those other people, they were looking for the Messiah this time. So Jesus, who is the Messiah and still is, he's King of the Jews, praise God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He showed up and John the Baptist said, "Hey, there's the one right there." And so Jesus said, "Look, you got to baptize me." And John's like, "I don't really think it's going to work that way. I want you to baptize me." Thinking in the Holy Ghost, and John's like, no. Our Jesus said, no, I have to do this to fulfill all righteousness. John baptized him. Let's check this out at the end of chapter 3, I believe. Yeah. So Jesus goes down in the water, comes up, and it's a little different than probably the baptism you or I got. Verse 17, as soon as he came, or let's start with 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and coming. Now, the Holy Ghost was not a dove. He descended like a dove, okay? There's no way a small bird can be God. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a dove. It was the Holy Ghost came like a dove. So he wasn't a dove. Descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, verse 17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Now I want you to see this. At that point, Jesus had done no miracle. He had taught no scripture. He had done nothing really remarkable, in all honesty. He hadn't done anything. He had nothing but a promise. He had a promise in his heart, and he knew from a child what his promise was. If you notice, when he went to go get bar mitzvahed at 13, 14, he was up at the temple, and he decided to stay at the temple, and his parents left. I don't know how they missed him for a couple days, but they did. Can you imagine not realizing Jesus wasn't with you after a couple days? I mean, you would think things would be different. Selah. So, some people, not so much, and do you recognize he's not with you? Anyways. So they say to Jesus, they're like, "Hey, what you weren't with us," and they're not spanking Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because everything he did was right, So they're like, "What's happening?" And they're like, "Don't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's business?" And they're like, "Yeah, you're talking parables. We don't understand you. Get in the car. Just get in the car, all right? One day it'll all make sense." So Jesus knew from a young age what his purpose was. And so he gets baptized, but up to that point it was just a promise. Like many of you have a promise in your heart from God. Many of you have had visions and had them confirmed with prophecy, and you read a scripture and it popped out at you and God talked to you, or when you got saved, you came to the altar and God just, you just saw a vision of crowds, or you saw your family come to the Lord, or you saw a calling and something in your heart began to burn for Jesus, and you knew that Jesus had called you to something, and up till now it was just a promise. There was no tangible evidence at all that God was going to do it. And as a matter of fact, it's been so long in the past, you can even begin to wonder, was that me? Or was that God? It can go so long that you can even begin to call it pride. That wasn't even me. That was probably just my pride thinking that, God wanted to win millions of people. Probably just my pride, you know, thinking that God wanted to get people healed. You know, I'm satisfied just doing this. And then one day, let's keep reading. Then one day, Jesus gets water baptized. Then, verse 1, chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus gets water baptized. God himself spoke from heaven. That tells me that other people heard it. I have a lot of people tell me God said, and ain't no one heard it but them, and it don't even bear witness with the word. God told me to do this. And I'm like, yeah, where are you going to do that at? I'm going to do it here. No, I know he didn't say that because he'd have told me. But here, God spoke so audibly that other people heard it. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, the fact that Jesus said he was a son of God is why they killed him. So it's a fairly big revelation. It's not like everybody's running around saying they were the son of God, because that made them equal with God. So after all these 30 years of Jesus just living with a promise in his heart, God finally spoke it. Today's a day of revealing who you are. Immediately, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You hear that? By the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I see a lot of times, and you see it in the Word, as soon as you come into this this calling, as soon as the pastor asks you to start leading a ministry, as soon as you get this opportunity to witness, as soon as it seems like, now everything is coming to pass, any day now I'm going to come into this call, any day now my business is going to take off, or I'm going to get that spouse, or we're going to finally have a kid, or I'm going to move into the ministry, or we're going to get that new building, immediately it seems like the exact opposite thing begins to happen. Have you noticed that? I thought that, you know, I was going to get my loved one back. I thought that this was finally going to come through. I thought finally my waiting would be over. And then the car breaks down. Then the temptation, you fall to temptation. Then disappointment sets in. And you start to question, did I even hear God in this promise? Because nothing I see looks like he promised it to me. Imagine you're Jesus. You're in the wilderness. You have these recollections. You remember living in heaven with God. You remember the angels bowing at your feet. You remember creating all of creation. You remember walking in the garden. You remember speaking the word into existence. And now here you are on a cursed planet. The devil himself is now visiting you, and again, I'm going to kind of take a step outside of Scripture here. But we know that Jesus was perfectly God and perfectly man. That means that he was tempted with everything, as it says in Hebrews. Now imagine Jesus now being tempted for the first time in his life. Imagine that thing you said, I've conquered it. I'm never going to use that drug again. I'm never going to look at pornography again. I'm never going to cheat. I'm never going to lie. I've got victory over this thing. And then something in your heart jumps. Addicts know this feeling. Addicts know the feeling of going 30 days clean and then for the first time tasting the drug in their mouth. Getting a glimpse of what it was like to be high again. Those of you bound in sexual sin, you know what it's like to walk free and be happy and pure, and then you know before God, I'm good. And then the thought pops in your head that you're unable to control in the past. And you remember the destruction that it brought upon you. Those of you who deal with anger, you know what it's like to be able to forgive and walk in grace, and then one day somebody tries you, and like out of nowhere you feel something rise up on the inside of you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can control this thing. And here's Jesus in the desert. And the devil comes, and he's tempted in every way. Jesus understands what you're going through, folks. He understands where you're at. There's a lie that the devil tries to put in your mind that says, you've fallen, God wants nothing to do with you, you can never earn your salvation again. It's a lie. It's a lie. I don't believe in cheap grace that says, I can go on sinning because I know he'll forgive me. That's an equal lie to let you think sin's okay, and that's just a quick, slippery slope to be separated from God eternally. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the person who had promises from God, and then one day you found yourself like the prodigal son. I used to live in my wealthy father's mansion, and now I'm with the pigs. How did I get here? How did I get here? I'm here to let you know today there's a way back. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. There is a way back. You have a Father in heaven who has a ring to put on your finger, a coat to put on you, and I tell you, he's already slaughtered the lamb. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. See, Jesus didn't go in the desert empty-handed. It says, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and then the tempter came. You got to know the times and seasons that you're in. The devil wants to work by pride, wants to work through your ignorance, wants to work through your spiritual vacuum to tempt you. He comes through your pride because he makes you think that you're so spiritual that you can't fall. When you think you're that great, once you get that honor and you think it's for you, let that be a warning. When you find yourself on stage and you're playing your instrument or you said a prayer and you're like, wow, that was anointed. Or you pray for someone and the first time ever they say, wow, I felt God. And you're like, oh, that's a warning. The enemy has come to test you. Through your ignorance, when you come into a situation and you don't know what the Word of God says about it. When you talk a lot and people say to you, can you show me any of that in the Bible and you don't have anything? Let that be a red flag to you. The enemy has come and he's tempting you. When you find yourself saying, you know, I want to know more about God, but I don't know exactly where to go. I don't know exactly what his will is. I don't know exactly what he wants me to do with my life. Let that be a red flag to you. You see, there's truths in this Word of God right here. And the more you get in this Word of God, the more it grows on the inside of you. When you start to deviate from this Word of God is when error comes, when that slippery slope of bad doctrine comes, where the enemy comes and he begins to consume your life. Jesus was tempted, and as the devil came with a lie, Jesus quoted the Word to him every time. He knew the Father's will. He was not confused about who the Father was, and he knew the truth from the Bible. He came equipped. He came equipped. But I want to show you something else about this temptation. The devil cannot tempt you with something. How do I say this? The devil can't tempt me with being emperor of China, because I don't want to move to China. The devil can only tempt you with something that's desirous to you, something that you desire. Hear me. The devil can only tempt you with something that you desire. I've never in my life had a drug problem. There's a lot of people that I love that do. I'm not judging anybody who may or may not. But the devil has never tempted me with heroin or cocaine, or it's not a temptation for me. He doesn't. I've never been tempted. I've never sat in my living room and thought, oh my gosh, I better pray in tongues or I'm going to go rob a liquor store. That's not a temptation for me. That's not a temptation for me. The devil comes at me in things that are a temptation for me. And the devil, if you notice, tempts Jesus in three areas that were part of his calling. Read it. Three areas that were part of his calling. He says, look, if really you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Well, what? Bring life from the stony place? Well, I believe that was part of his calling. He says, look, if you're really the Son of God, go ahead and throw you down and let the angels catch you. I mean, can you trust God? I believe Jesus could trust God pretty good because he was actually going to go into destruction with death. He was actually going to allow himself to be murdered, trusting that God would raise him from the dead. Come on. He said the devil tempted him with death. Look, you're scared to die, right? And Jesus is like, actually, no, I'm not. Then he tempts him. He says, look, bow down and worship me, and I will give you power over all the kingdoms of the earth. You know that's Jesus' calling, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to recognize that often the enemy knows your call better than you do. You mark it off to pride and all kind of stupidity, whatever. A lack of understanding of the word, and the devil is tempting you in the very thing you're called to do. Say you're called to intimacy. The devil tempts you with false intimacy. Say you're called to worship. Tempts you with worldly music. Come on, it ain't that complicated. Say you're called to be a giver in the kingdom of God. He tempts you with greed. Oh, you don't want to give all that money to that church. You don't know what they're doing with it. No, but God knows what you're doing with it. You might want to give it to the church. You get what I'm saying, right? What do? The devil comes. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. The devil comes and he's trying you. Somebody's about to get set free up in here. I'm telling you, the lie is coming off. I see it being peeled back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 10. Y'all getting anything out of this? I hope somebody's getting something out of this. He says, Ephesians chapter 6, start in verse 10. He says, finally. Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I could preach that, but I'm not going to. Be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Hear this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand. And having all to stand firm, stand. Come on. Some of you need to get in the inside of your spirit. I'm standing. I will not be moved. I see what's happening all around me, and I've done everything I can do to stand, and the temptation is still here, but yet I will still stand. You hear what I'm saying? I've done all I can do to stand. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've confessed the word. I believed in my heart. I've called my friends, but I have chosen today to stand. Come on, I see where the devil is going, and I ain't going there. I don't know where God is taking me, but today I will stand. Can you say amen? Come on, the devil wants you to come into agreement with him. The enemy wants you to say, look, the promises of God didn't work. Let's try something else. Those truths you got, that wasn't good enough. Let's get some new truths. Let's begin to go to these teachings, got extra biblical revelation. Let's go over here to these other Eastern mysticism. Let me try to find some love and sex. Let me go try to find a good feeling in drugs. Oh, the church let me down. I've been tithing all this time, and I'm still broke. The enemy comes at you 18 ways trying to tempt you in your call. And just like Jesus, at the very moment of your breakthrough, the revealing of your call, the very time you are on the very precipice of coming in to the very thing you were created for, and the enemy comes and says, did God really? Did God really? Does his word really say? And you say, you know what? I read about this. I got the word on the inside of me. And right now, Reba Shantere Bekete, Oh, Jesus, you got to give me that scripture to stand on right now. I need your truth right now, Lord. Oh, yeah. Having done all I can do to stand today, I will stand. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I got a word for somebody today. Isaiah chapter 60. The Lord spoke it to me right before I came out. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It looks like the night is all around you. It looks like you have been overcome with those plans from the devil. But the Lord switched my message today just for you. He's here to let you know. Isaiah 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Say, upon me.
Upon me.
Come on, let's say it together. When I say you, I want you to say, upon me. You ready? I already know this. The Lord already spoke it to me. I need you to get it in your spirit, man. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. You got it up there? You ready? One. Yes, one. Okay, I'm going to say it. We're going to say it together at the end. She's getting it any moment now. I feel it in my spirit. Ready? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory... Arise, ready? Shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. For the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon me, and his glory will be seen upon me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not staying in the valley. I am walking through.
Hallelujah.
Too many folks get in the valley of the shadow of death and they make a camp and they invite their friends. Oh, woe is me. Nobody likes me. Nobody invites me to go out with them. My doggy won't even hang out with me. Things are so bad. I have bad luck. I said, get saved. The luck can change. His blood is still flowing. Get right with God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness, I mean, people tell me, oh, the economy, Pastor. I'm like, well, the darkness may be upon them. I don't know, but I done read in the Word. Nah, that the darkness may be all upon the peoples of the earth, but the Lord will rise upon me. I don't know what's happening to you and your glory. I don't know what's happening to you and your economy, but my economy's doing just fine. Thank you very much. I've been reading through the Word, and I ain't seen nowhere where the blood of Jesus runs thin for a couple years.
Hallelujah.
Uh-uh. Y'all can stay broke. Y'all can worship the economy and the Fed, and y'all can, oh, this president's in. Life's going to be great. Oh, that president's in. Life's going to be. Y'all can have whatever president y'all want. My president is Jesus, and he done reign well every single year. Amen? He ain't never made me a promise he didn't keep. It's amazing. Every president, every 4 years, is going to change everything. And the same stuff is happening year after year after year. It's like, no, this is the one. This is the one. He's a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's Puerto Rican. You know, whatever. I don't care. It'll make no difference. Y'all can get Moses to come and run America. I'm still worshiping Jesus. So I'm a proud Republican. Well, you need to quit being proud because that's sin. I hate to break it down for you like that, but I'm a proud Democrat. I'm a proud Christian. I don't know. I see that party. I'll sign up for it, you know. Short of that, do what you want to do. I don't know where I'm going with that. Glory to God. What do I do? What do I do? Man, running all over the place here. Okay, so here you are today. Your life is such a mess that God had to change my message just for you, okay? This is where you're at today, that you got such issues and you have been unable to deal with them effectively that God himself had to mess up a whole church service so you can, you know, try to get right. What do we do about that? Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Whew. I'm sweating like a pig up here. You folks on the podcast, don't visualize that. I sweat gold on the podcast. I'm shimmering with diamonds and gold right now. All right, where am I going in Acts chapter 10? I know it's here somewhere. Ah, thank you. Glory to God. Give yourself a raise, Sergio. Take off 4 minutes early next week, okay? Oh, wait, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm like, I knew there was something in 10 I wanted to read. I'm reading 12. I'm like, okay, hey, what do you know? Hey, what do you know? It's all opening up to me now. All right, check it out. Acts chapter 10, let's start about verse 3, okay? About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. Okay, Cornelius is in prayer, and he sees an angel. And the angel begins talking to him. And Cornelius says, and he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Your prayers and your alms. Now, I want you to see this. At the time, the Gentiles weren't even allowed to worship in the temple. Jews couldn't even eat with them. And now this Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, has died bringing salvation in the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the Jews. And now here's a Gentile who's not even allowed to enter into this covenant. And the angel shows up and starts talking to him. And he gives him a reason why the angel is talking to him. Say, oh, it's all grace. Wait a minute. Look what the Bible says here. This is kind of wild. He saw a vision. Verse 4, he says, and he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And the angel said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. There's something that happens. God is the God of love. God is love. There was somebody in our church who locked their kid in their car recently. And I don't know about you, but I even my car that I don't like, I like. Because I'm able to drive it, and it's better than walking. You know, a bad car is better than walking. And I don't do things on purpose to damage my car. Okay? So, the kid was fine in the car. It sounded like they came back a couple days later, and the kid was still in there. It was, the air was on, car was running, whatever. And they were unable to get the car open. And if you're a parent, that would freak you out a little bit. And after a while, it's a small baby. Baby's crying. Dad comes, is called from work. Dad looked at the car and broke the window. He's like, we're not having a discussion here. We're not calling people. We're not having intercession. We're now rescuing the child if it costs me a new window. Let's see, my child is in danger. The thing in between me and the child is a window. No more window. It's just it. That's just how that's going to work. Because you hopefully love your child. I know a lot of people that love most of their kids, you know, and I love all my kids, praise God. I've got two. We're not trying it too much more, just, you know, you never know. That's a joke. I love my kids. I want more. But don't give me any. So there's this child crying inside the car, and the mom is like, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. Let me try this. Oh no. Oh no. Hi. You know what I mean? Just locked in the car. Dad comes home and says, oh look. The only thing that's stopping me from rescuing my child is this window. Kaya! You know, that the window's gone. You know what I'm saying? He's like, hey, wait. A lot of windows at the store. Let me get my kid out. Now, I want you to try to conceptualize the love that God has for you. So much that he left heaven, put on flesh, and allowed man to beat him up. Allowed man to kill him just so that man can be redeemed. I mean, what kind of love is this? He says, and he stared at him in terror. And he said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Because Cornelius was a man of prayer and a man of giving. Okay, we don't get this twisted. We never teach on money at the mission before the offering. We're not having an offering at the end of service here. You know, my conscience is clear regarding money. I don't manipulate people, and I don't promise you if you give me money, you're going to get rich. It's just, it's not biblical. We don't teach it. It's just a lie. God wants to prosper your finances. He wants you to have more than enough. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I'm not teaching this to get you to give me money, but there's a biblical principle here. If you are not a Jew, you got saved in part because Cornelius prayed and gave. That's a big deal. If you've ever had a vision of hell, you'll know that's a really big deal. He says, because of your prayer and your alms, which is your giving, because you give and you pray, you have moved the heart of God. He has sent this angel, and now I want you to send for my man Peter. Peter is going to come, and he's going to teach you some things that's going to rock your world. Number one, you find yourself stuck underneath this wave of sin and separated from God. You've found yourself, the tempter came and the temptation won. You did not go into the desert with 40 days of prayer and fasting and with the word hidden in your heart and with a confidence that you will stand in the terrible day. As a matter of fact, you fell down, and maybe you didn't even fight that much before you fell down. Maybe you actually, when the enemy got there, you were already halfway down. Maybe you called the enemy to you thinking it'd be cool to hang out with him. I don't know. But I'm here to let you know, if you found yourself today in a place that the enemy has won in your life and you're like, how in the world did I get here, and how do I get out? Number one, you need to pray. You need to pray and pray and pray. You need to, you say, well, Pastor, when should I pray? How about this? The time you're currently on Facebook and watching TV, spend that in prayer. Some of y'all might get raptured if you spend that much time in prayer instead of Facebook. Some of y'all would get so spiritual, Jesus himself might come on the mountain of transfiguration and transfigure you. It's amazing. Some people in here, you go on Facebook and there's no comment that can last for like a minute before you've commented on it. It's like you're on the computer hitting F5, refresh, 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 refresh. Oh, rakataka, refresh, refresh, refresh. Oh, rababa, refresh. LOL, refresh, refresh, refresh. I'm like, good God, you got this thing worked out. I'm like, are you raising up a team of children to, you know, farm all this out and to monitor it for you? I don't know what's happening here. But imagine a world. Let's just go into fantasy for a second. Imagine a world where you said, this isn't reality, so just help me for a second. Just go along with me for a moment into this little fictitious realm I'm gonna paint for you. Let's just imagine a world where we believe that prayer works. Let's just go over there. Let's just go there. Why not? Let's just go there. Let's say that we believe that prayer works. And let's say God cares about us. Okay, let's just say that God cares about us. And let's say that, you know, prayer works. Okay, God cares. And prayer is us talking to God, the one who cares. And let's say that maybe the internet and television isn't as important as God. Don't stone me or rush me or anything like that. I know it's heresy to some people, but let's just say. But Pastor, I bet we can get 1 million believers for Christ to sign this group list. I mean, yeah, I understand. That's very important. It's very, very, very important. Because Jesus is really concerned if he can have 1 million followers sign up for that group on Facebook. I know, it's very important to him. But let's just say for a moment that we believe prayer works and God cares about us, and we don't see the manifestation of that care in our lives at this moment. And we wonder, how can I possibly reconnect with God? Let's figure this out. How about we decide for the next, I don't know, week, that I'm just going to sign off of Facebook for a while. And I'm actually going to get on my knees. I understand soaking, I understand laying, I understand, you know, walking around and prayer walks and all that. But let's just maybe take it back to the Bible. How about we go ahead and make ourselves lower by getting on our knees and praying to God? What about we actually confess our sins to Him and we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and we ask Him to move on our behalf? Imagine what life we might lead that way. Imagine what God would be able to do in our midst. Imagine if one guy, Cornelius, was able to not only have God hear his prayers and bring an angel into his prayer time, but God literally changed the ministry of Peter, who was fairly important, changed the ministry of Peter because of it. Imagine what we could change in South Florida. If one guy can bring salvation to all the Gentiles through his prayer and giving, imagine if we just grasped the concept that God loves me, even in the, you know, Cornelius wasn't saved, right? He wasn't saved. That means he lived a life of sin. He wasn't saved. That which is not of faith is sin. He didn't live a life of faith because he wasn't saved. So here's a guy that was outside the covenant who prayed to God and he gave to God, and Jesus Christ moved his head apostle to come bring salvation. He didn't have to go to a church service. The Lord brought the church service to him. Come on now. Peter came into his house and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the glory of God descended in the room and they were all baptized in the Holy Ghost. A little bit of, oh, my son is away from God. Oh, my daughter's not walking. Oh, my finances. And I can tell the difference between people who pray and people who don't. People who pray, they tell me issues, hoping that I will join them in prayer. People who don't take ownership of it, complain. They complain as if they got no authority over this thing. I want to shepherd a group of people who understand who Jesus Christ is and the power he has given you over these issues in your life. I'm not in the old covenant begging God to do something on my behalf. I'm not some beggar on the streets. I'm not the blind person who God doesn't know. I'm not hoping that God might turn my way. I'm not groveling with Jesus. I know you're so busy, and I asked your mom, but now I'm even going to ask you. I asked Saint, you know, Papa, and I asked, you know, Billy Bob Saint, whatever, but oh God, if you can just, no, I checked, I'm saved. Filled with the Holy Ghost, washed clean in the blood of Jesus. I come with authority. Lord, I pray to you and I ask you in the name of Jesus to change my circumstance. Number one, you got to be people of prayer. You got to be people of prayer. Number two, and we preach these all the time, you need to faithfully tithe. Do you need it to be saved? No. I don't believe that in order to be saved, you have to tithe. I do believe that your faithful giving changes things in your life. I absolutely believe that your faithful giving changes things in your life. We have a requirement at the mission before you have any level of ministry, any level of authority, you have to be joined to what we're doing here. You have to say, this is where God has me, and I'm a part of it, Pastor. You can count on me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give the first 10% of my income to it. I'm giving it to God, but here's the local storehouse God has got me in. And when you join yourself like that, when you say, Lord, I'm making what's important to you important to me, and I'm casting my lot in, I'm adding my value system to yours, Lord. I'm giving, and now my income is tied to God's plans on the earth. Hallelujah. You see that, right? Yeah. I'm hooking myself to God's plans. That's a good direction to go in. His prayers and his alms move God. Number three, you need to come to church. If you got real issues, you need to depression, anxiety, you know, just sucking on worms all the time. Ooh, things are so bad. If you got those issues in your life, you need to be around Christians a lot more. If your testimony is, oh, I hardly have any Christian friends, yes, you have an issue. You need to go to church, go to connection group, get the setup, serve early, stay late, bug somebody to go to lunch with them. Do what you need to do to figure out how happy Christians live, okay? Because there's a way to live in Christ and be happy, not be weird, and have friends. It is possible. Get around some folks who have friends and people like them. Just look around. Let's see. People are talking to him. I want to see why. You know, just do that. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, number four. And you need to pray in tongues. You need to pray in tongues. Why? Well, because the Bible tells you to, first of all. But you got to let that Spirit make intercession for you. Come on up, search. You need to have that ability to tap into Camille. You need to tap into that prayer language of God. You got to tap into that power. You got to tap into that. Who shall ascend? Who shall see God? Who? It hasn't changed. It's not those who learn the fancy prayers. It's not those who learn the mystical key. It's not them at all. He who has a pure hands and a clean heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 24 hasn't changed. And here's what we're going to do. Psalm 3. Here's what we're going to do. God has sent some of you today to get restored. I know I went long. I didn't think I was going to go half of this time, but I did. But I'm going to give some of you an opportunity right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray, and I believe the Lord is going to touch some hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God cares about you. God cares about you today. You're important to Him. He has not left you forsaken. He's not forgotten about your plight. As a matter of fact, God knows what you've been going through, and it's kind of bothered Him. It's got Him sad. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, right there. Hope is rising right now. There it is. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today. Dare to hope in God again. I want to dare you. Hope in God again. Before you got hurt, before you got disappointed, before you fell into that sin, before that thing that you thought was going to come to pass, and it didn't come to pass, and now maybe you might be a little offended with God. Look, you know, I don't know. The business failed. The marriage didn't work out. The ministry didn't take off. Your loved one didn't get saved. The person you cared about fell back into addiction. The thing that you said you would never do again, not only are you doing it, but you're bound in it. The relationship you had one time with God is just a memory. And you trick yourself into thinking it was the past, but you know you're just lying to yourself. Reba shante ba kandere. Reva. Reva shandere. Rebongon daravasa tereve. Revesa tarava. There's someone in here and you had an encounter in youth group. And don't start thinking because God has already brought this to your remembrance before I said anything. And you had this, and I believe it was at youth camp. And you were at a youth camp, some sort of camp, and you had just what you believe to be a life-changing encounter in ministry. It was actually somebody who was ministering to you and you knew it was God. The words they spoke. And either it was just today or this morning, I don't know, recently, God had brought that to your remembrance, so you thought it was you just looking back. And I'm here to let you know God wants to restore that. He has not forgotten the words he spoke to you. God has not forgotten the words he has spoken to you. And right now, allow yourself to believe in God a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Allow yourself to hope a little bit. Allow yourself. Holy Spirit, right now, in the name of Jesus, come, even now. Look, I don't have these things mapped out ahead of time. I got to track with the Holy Ghost. I got to try to hear what God is speaking, and I got to try to line up with what he's. But right now, in people's spirits, right now, he's doing something right now in your heart. Oh, yeah, right there. In your chest, you're already feeling it in your chest, and it's burning and it's moving, and there's a freedom coming upon your life right now. There is a freedom coming upon your life right now, and you're even saying right now, the glory of God shall shine upon me. The world, though they walk in darkness, it will not be known in my life any longer. I'm making a decision today. I want to bring you back to that time that you hoped. We're going to bring you back. We're going to sing. Thank you, Jesus, that you're restoring right now.